Today's gospel comes from Matthew chapter 13. And in it today, the Lord offers to us three parables. In the chapter as a whole, Christ offers seven parables. And when he's not speaking in parables, he's speaking about parables and their meaning. So taken as a whole, this chapter 13 is devoted entirely to the parables. With that in mind, I'd like to say a few words this morning about parables, and to begin by reflecting a little bit on the word parable. The English word parable comes from two little Greek words, para and balein. When they're placed side by side, they mean to throw alongside, which is kind of strange at first to think, how could that definition speak to the parables, to throw alongside? But with a bit of deeper reflection, it starts to make sense, because in the parables, very often the Lord is holding up side by side two or more images that don't seem to fit. They don't seem like they belong to one another. One example from today's gospel with the mustard seed. Unless we had heard this parable from Christ before, who among us would ever look at a mustard seed and think, that's a metaphor for the kingdom of God. Look at, that's what that is, a mustard seed. It wouldn't strike us. But in the parables, the Lord throws alongside multiple images that don't seem to fit, but surface some new meaning or consideration or reflection for us. I think in the end, it's a very helpful definition. And it's not just helpful for parables. I think there's a way in which it's helpful for life. Being alive means having a sensibility of being thrown alongside one another, the world itself, especially in the last 4 months, I would add. There was a great German philosopher who said that our first real awareness of being alive is, he used this long German word, Geworfenheit. It means thrownness. Our first sensibility of being alive is that we're thrown into the world itself. And it's true in a sense, because none of us choose where we come into the world. No one has this opportunity. We kind of take it for granted, but none of us asked to come into the world in the particular place in which we did. Take it a step further, if we think of the people with whom we share life, the people we're alongside when we come into the world, siblings, parents, again, these are people that we didn't choose. It's a wonderful mystery of life, why God chose them for us, but we know we didn't choose them in coming into the world. We're thrown, in a sense, into the world. Take it a step further, it's also a helpful way to think of the church. The church has been around almost 2,000 years. Presently, there are over a billion Catholics on the planet. And when it comes to the church, we didn't choose the people with whom we would become a parish community. Think of the people you're with now. Sometimes we take these people for granted, but it's a fascinating and wonderful mystery of life that the people in a parish are not people that we chose. Sometimes that's a source of consternation to us, can be a source of frustration. Sometimes it's a source of amusement. We don't know why these people came together. It was somehow in God's plan. Fully, ultimately, we're coming together, we're thrown alongside one another as a parish for edification, for holiness. If we pay enough attention to the people that we worship with, we see not only do they have a great deal to teach us, but we have a great deal to learn about holiness from the people that we worship with, that we form a community with. Sometimes people think of the church in this way. They say, it's a bit of a cynical outlook. The church doesn't always work very well. There are arguments, there are always controversies in the church. There are some valid points to this argument, but you never understand the church if that's your starting point. Things don't always work well. This is a better way to understand the church. This way, what I'm going to propose helps us to arrive at the meaning of the church more deeply. Instead of saying the church doesn't always work very well, it's much better to say it's amazing that the church works at all. It's amazing that the church functions. No institution has been around longer. Over a billion people on the planet. The church speaks in every language. It's a source of astonishment that it works at all. It's a miracle. I would offer it's proof of God that the church works, period. That the church is here convicts us somehow in a strange way that God is real, that God is working in the world. It's really important for us to acknowledge this. It reminds me of a conversation that Napoleon had in the French Revolution with a French cardinal. Consalvi was his last name. And Napoleon said to the cardinal, if I wanted to, I could erase the Catholic Church from the face of France. And the cardinal said, if priests and bishops haven't been able to do this in 1800 years, what makes you think you can erase the Catholic Church? It's still here. The truth hurts, but there's a lot of wisdom in the line. The church is still here by the grace of God. And in a way, if you see it properly, it proves in a way that the church is the bride of Christ. It's the only reason that she's here. You may be aware that I'm wrapping up my time at the cathedral. I came here just over 4 years ago in June of 2016. Sometimes it seems like a long time ago. I was really just a mere child. I was an innocent lad when I came here at that time. And as I look back, there's a little conversation that comes to mind that I would characterize the 4 years. When I look back, I think of an exchange I had with a priest shortly after I was ordained 10 years ago. I was visiting a priest in a hospital. Wonderful man, very kind. He would check himself out of the hospital to go say Mass and to visit people. And he ended up dying a few months after I spent some time with him in the hospital. So I go, I've been a priest for a couple months. I was in Bardstown. So I'm checking on him primarily. But he didn't want to talk about himself. He was really eager to know what I thought about being a priest. So I started telling him some stories of priestly life. It doesn't take long as a priest before crazy stories, they just start stacking as a priest. So I shared with him a few. As I look back, I don't even remember what they were. But we talked for a while, we laughed, and at the end of the conversation, he laughed, and he said, I've had a lot of crazy days as a priest, but I haven't had a bad day yet. That comes to mind for me as I think back on the last 4 years here at the cathedral. I've had a lot of crazy days as pastor here. A lot of crazy days. I couldn't count how many crazy days. But I can't say that there were any bad days. Now, some days, halfway through, I thought, I'm going to break the streak. This isn't off to a good start. It's kind of rocky at this point. But ultimately, the conviction won out. It's not really a bad day. It's pretty challenging. But look at what's coming up tomorrow. There's new opportunity, the good people to work with here. Haven't had a bad day yet. A lot of crazy days, though. I think that's the truth. It's good as a priest to share this with a community. A lot of times, the priesthood can easily be misunderstood, even by people in the church. Sometimes, I'm aware that people can kind of feel sorry for priests. They're kind of isolated, it's got to be pretty lonely, a lot of challenges in life. That's not a great way, really, to understand priesthood. When I look at the world, I see that many people are starved for meaning in the world. Many people are dying for some lasting and permanent meaning. That's the opposite of the case with priestly life. If anything, as a priest, there's too much meaning. There's overwhelming meaning from being between God and humanity. There's too much meaning to make sense of, to understand. There's never a challenge in finding meaning in life as a priest. And it's an obligation, I think, in a sense as a priest, to share this with people, that it is a good life, full of meaning, enormously rewarding. And the more that you know that and appreciate it, I think the more you'll know what it means to be a priest and how a priest serves. So that's what I think when I look back. There are some crazy days, but no bad days, I would say, as a priest. So I think to myself, too, what do I feel when I look forward, when I look to the future? Like you, there are great unknowns as we look to what will happen. I know where my assignment is, going to E-Town, to St. James. But a lot is unknown about what will happen. The particulars, there will be many surprises. What do I think when I look forward? There's a line that comes to mind for me that I would share. It comes from a story in the Bible. It's in Genesis chapter 22, in a passage very famous known as the testing of Abraham. The chapter begins in a very terrible way. Abraham is instructed to offer his only child, Isaac, the son of his old age, as a sacrifice. So as the two set out, the youth asked the father, "Where is the lamb to be offered?" And Abraham says, in this fascinating, heart-rending line, "The Lord will provide." So they keep going on their way, and before Isaac is offered, an angel intervenes, spares the life of Isaac, and Abraham offers a ram that is caught in a thicket as a sacrifice. So at the end of the passage, Genesis chapter 22, this line is overlooked, but it's enormously meaningful. It says, Abraham named the place Yahweh Yireh, which means, on this mountain, the Lord will provide. So it's fascinating that the phrase is kind of a bookend. It begins the story, and it ends the story. The Lord will provide. That's what I think as I look to the future. When I consider the past 4 years, the Lord provided. Sometimes by a narrow margin, oftentimes by a surprise, but the Lord provided. When I look to the future, I think the Lord will provide. It's probably going to be a surprise how that happens, but that's part of the beautiful drama of life. That's why it's such a great adventure. That's what I think when I look to the future, and that's what my prayer is for each of you here. My prayer is not that the Lord will provide. That takes care of itself. My prayer would be that you will know, that you will believe that the Lord will provide. Because when we believe it, and it's a challenge for me, it's not something that comes easily or readily, but when we believe it, life opens up in a way. We have freedom to pray, we have more freedom to be grateful, to appreciate life for what it is, to appreciate one another for who we are, and to build up a great and lasting city in the world. That's what we're called to do.